Now on Radio 3, the early music show. The subject this week is the dance, and Philippa Waite begins with music by Lully.
You just heard a chaconne from Assis et Galatée. It was played on that recording by Les Talents Lyriques with soprano Monique Zanetti, conducted by Christophe Rousset. It's fitting that we started today's programme with a piece by Lully as we're looking at Baroque dance music. Lully was an excellent dancer as well as musician, and he composed some wonderful dance music that was often used by 18th century choreographers. In fact, a notated dance published about 1725 exists for the piece you've just heard. Dance rhythms are fundamental to Baroque music. Both instrumental and vocal music, even if not marked as a dance type, will have a strong dance element. As Soame Jennings states in his poem, The Art of Dancing, published in 1729, The dance and music must so nicely meet, each note must seem an echo to your feet. So what does Baroque dance actually look like? Imagine a ballroom with hundreds of flickering candles reflected in mirrors, with people crowded around the edges of the room. And there in the middle stand a gentleman and a lady dressed in silk, satin and lace, ready to dance. Having made their bows to the most important person in the room, known as the presence, and then bowed to each other, they then begin to trace beautiful mirror image architectural spatial figures. With an eloquent rhythmic wit, using steps that walk, glide and spring, as well as arm gestures that reflect the rhythmic harmony of the feet, the dancers move as a visual expression of the melody. In fact, the dancers can be seen as another instrument of a musical ensemble. Baroque dance was also performed in theatres. The rondo you're going to hear is played by the Parley of Instruments, conducted by Roy Goodman. It's a minuet from Purcell's Fairy Queen. Minuet music is phrased over two bars, as they're usually played with three beats in a bar. But we need six beats for one minuet step. That's why the minuet, and its quicker version, the passepied, has its own special vocabulary of steps. The ballroom minuet was the most important social dance of the Baroque era and was danced at balls until the French Revolution. The ballroom minuet had set figures. The main figure, the letter Z, originally an S pattern, is traced on the dance floor, followed by the dancers circling with the giving of right and left hands. The Z figure is then repeated and the final figure, the giving of both hands, is made. Moving backwards away from the presence, the dancers would then finish by making their bows before leaving the dance floor. It must have been quite daunting, as those around you would be judging your breathing from the carriage of your body, the way you bowed and danced, and that's more so for the man than the woman. If you weren't very good at dancing, it was best not to dance, as you'd be open to ridicule. Such an incident at the court of Louis XIV was described by Saint-Simon in his memoirs. From the very first bow, he became confused and he lost his step at once. He tried to divert attention from his mistake by affecting attitudes and carrying his arms high, but this made him only more ridiculous and excited bursts of laughter. Music theorists of the 18th century were interested in attributing particular characteristics or affects to specific dance rhythms. A German theorist, Johann Mattheson, when describing the character of the courante, tells us it is grave and majestic. Its typical affection was one of sweet hope and courage. Thank you. Stephen Stubbs playing Weiss's Courante from a suite for lute in D minor. The Courante was said to be a particular favourite of Louis XIV. We have Italian-style Courante music, of which the Weiss is an example, and French-style. But the only surviving notated dances are of the French type. But even with these few dances, we get an understanding of the rhythmic complexities of the Courante. The pulse is a slow three, but the underlying rhythm is quite quick, and the dances often contain more than one step in a bar, creating a variety of different accents. As a Baroque dance teacher, my students find it one of the most difficult dance rhythms to count, let alone master. Baroque dance was developed at the court of Louis XIV. Louis himself was a very good dancer, and he danced the role of Apollo in court ballets, hence his title, the Sun King. So who else danced? Royalty, the aristocracy, courtiers, and the professional classes. We know quite a bit about the style, as we have numerous dancing manuals of the period telling us how to dance the steps and how to read the dance notation, which was developed at the Académie Royale de Danse, founded in 1661. This style of dance was fashionable throughout Europe, with French dancing masters being employed in many foreign courts, which is probably why so many musicians compose dance music in the French style, J.S. Bach being one such composer. The following gavotte, from his orchestral suite No. 3 in D major, is an example of his ability to compose in any genre he chooses. With this piece, Bach creates jubilant joy, the affect Mattheson attributes to gavottes. Thank you. Le Concert des Nations, conducted by Jordi Savall. Although Brossard describes the Sarabande as a slow dance whose mood is serious, with Raymond de Saint-Made adding that it is always melancholy and exudes a delicate yet serious tenderness, it doesn't mean that all sarabands will be exactly the same. There are many variations within each dance type, depending on the musical content, and it's the choreographer's job to interpret these by the use of spatial patterns, choice of steps, and their rhythmic content. Here are two contrasting sarabands, the first by Couperin, the second by Handel.
Thank you.
Handel's Saraband from Almira, performed by the Parley of Instruments under the direction of Peter Holman. And before that, Skip Sempe played François Couperin's Sarabande la Dangereuse. We're going to hear several dance rhythms combined in a suite. In Les Caractères de la Danse, Rebel demonstrates the rich variety of moods available to the composer and choreographer created by dance rhythms. the Palladian Ensemble in the Rebelles Les Caractères de la Danse. One of the dance rhythms in that suite is the lure. You could be forgiven for playing it like a gigue, as the music looks very similar. However, the dance is completely different. The lure has two steps for every bar of music, and the gigue has only one. In order to articulate the two steps, the lure must be played more slowly. As Matteson says, lures or slow and dotted gigues, by contrast, exhibit a proud and pompous character, which makes them very popular in Spain. We must remember, though, in the 18th century context, pompous means ceremonial. The Lure Grave from Le Temple de la Gloire by Rameau, played by the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas McGeegan. Many musicians feel that Bach's dance suites have moved away from their origins and should be approached as purely instrumental pieces. However, Bach would have certainly been exposed to French culture and would have known how to dance. In fact, French was a language spoken at German courts at this time. Here's the Bure from Bach's third cello suite. Thank you. Cellist Stephen Isserlis. Admittedly, some of Bach's music is too textured to dance to, but I have danced to a lot of Bach's music, including the theme of the Goldberg Variations, which can be considered a saraband, although not marked as one. Both court and theatre dances use the same vocabulary of approximately 20 basic steps, which can be adjusted to fit different dance rhythms, such as bourré, saraband and gigue. Many of these dance steps can also be ornamented with the addition of beats, turns and springs. Matteson tells us that, with nothing more than the gigue, I can express four important affects: anger or eagerness, pride, simple-minded desire and flightiness. I make that five, but let's hear a jig by Matteson and see what you think. According to Brossard, in comparison to the Chaconne, the Passacaglia's tempo is usually slower and the melody more expressive and tender. Most dance rhythms are in two sections, but the Passacaglia and Chaconne have a number of variations over a repeated ground bass. This tends to make the dances much longer than average, but allows for many contrasting moods to be expressed. To me, the Passacaglia encapsulates the essence of Baroque dance. So I'll leave you with the haunting sound of Andrew Manzi playing Bieber's Passacaglia for solo violin.
Thank you.
The Passacaglia for solo violin by Heinrich Bieber, played there by Andrew Manzi. And it ends this week's Early Music Show. It was presented by Philippa Waite and first broadcast in 2008. And there were plenty of Baroque dances in yesterday's Radio 3 lunchtime concert, mostly ones by Rameau. So if you missed the concert, you can always catch it online in HD sound via the Radio 3 website. It featured the French-Canadian ensemble Les Violons du Roi performing in Montreal a few months ago. And most of their concert was given over to a suite of orchestral music from the Rameau operas. Overtures, dances and airs from Zaïs, Zoroastre, Dardanus, Les Fêtes d'Hébé, Hippolyte et Tahiti, Les Boreades, Castor et Pollux, and a few others too. In other words, a generous cross-section through Rameau's inimitable legacy of stage music. It was a really stylish, vital performance of it too. As I say, do catch up with it on the Radio 3 website if you missed it. We're looking ahead, and we'll soon be embracing the world of choral music this afternoon here on Radio 3 within a couple of minutes. Choral Evensong from the Chapel of the Queen's College, Oxford, and following on from it, the choir, which this afternoon comes live from Voices Now 2015. Sarah Moore-Peach will be joining choirs from across the UK as they come together for a festival of singing at London's Roundhouse. So expect live performances from, among others, the London-based Veda Slovena Bulgarian Choir and an outfit that call themselves the Magnificent AK-47. The choir, live from the Roundhouse in London, is here on Radio 3 at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I know I'm right! I know I'm right!
BBC Radio 3 presents In the Shadow of Kafka, a series of programmes exploring the life and works of one of the 20th century's most important writers, Franz Kafka. This evening at 6:45, Michel Glennie journeys to Prague to examine how Kafka was shaped by his native city. And every night this week, in the essay, five leading writers explored the breadth of his thinking.
Not just a poet of disorienting, menacing complexity, but also a funny man and a feminist.
Plus, a new adaptation of his classic book, The Trial, dramatized and updated by Mark Ravenhill.
The process has begun.
What happens?
We don't know.
They don't tell us anything.
In the Shadow of Kafka, starting this evening here on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this afternoon. It's just gone 3 o'clock. Time now for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live last Wednesday from the Chapel of the Queen's College, Oxford. The canticles are sung in the setting by Charles Villiers Stanford, commissioned by St Paul's Cathedral for the 1880 Festival of the Sons of the Clergy, when it was first performed by a choir of over 300 singers. The anthem is I Know That My Redeemer Liveth by Cecilia McDowell, composed in 2009 for the Epsom Choral Society. And the service begins now with an introit by Richard Lloyd, a setting of Thomas Campion's poem, View Me, Lord, a Work of Thine.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Chapel of the Queen's College, Oxford, for this radio broadcast of Choral Evensong. The college was founded in 1341 by Robert de Egglesfield, chaplain to Queen Philippa, with a special purpose to promote such studies as would bring honour to God, benefit to the church, and salvation to souls. Evensong is sung this afternoon in the Baroque splendour of the college's chapel consecrated in 1719. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him.
O Lord of our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth.
Make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, one
sings psalms appointed for the sixth evening, Psalms 32 and 33.